والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه: يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: الدين النصيحة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected brothers, elders and youngsters, Alhamdulillah, we have been blessed by the biggest bounty and blessing that anybody can receive in this universe, and that is the blessing of Tawheed, of Iman and Islam. We see in our society, if someone has a very nice and expensive car or a very big house, you know, I live in Scarborough, so the rich area is Markham Town. You guys been to Markham Town? Richmond Hill? So that's like the rich area. The house that cost maybe 500,000 in Scarborough cost $1 million in Markham Town, in Richmond Hill. So that's like the big expensive place, right? So we see that a person who has a nice house in Markham Town or has a very expensive 2016 car, so in our eyes, he's blessed. Our Pakistan mein kehte hain Allah se bada khush hai. We say in Urdu, we say Allah is very happy with him. If he comes in with a nice car and a big house, then Allah is very happy with him. So we link the happiness of Allah with material things, which we'll finish. How intelligent we are. But Allah links His love with somebody with something else. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا. When Allah loves somebody and Allah wants good for somebody, does He give him a big house? No. Does He give him a very expensive car? No. And what does He give him? يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. He gives him the understanding of deen, of religion, of Islam. He gives him the understanding of sunnah. What is sunnah? Is it just a sunnah? Or is one sunnah worth more than the heavens and the earth? He gives him the understanding. He shows him this in his heart. He gives him the ability to pray. If a person is coming to the masjid, it means Allah loves him. If a person is reading Quran every day, it means Allah loves him. If a person is doing zikr, it's Allah loves him. If a person is obedient to his parents, Allah loves him. This is the sign that Allah loves. The sign is not that your bank account has 7 digits or 10 digits. This is not a sign that Allah loves you. The sign that Allah loves you is He gives you the understanding of Islam. So we have the biggest jewel of this universe in our hearts, and that is Iman, that is Tawheed, that is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Until there's one person left. So Allah didn't say that until there's one businessman left, until there's one doctor left, until there's one engineer left. We think these people are very big, huh? But Allah is saying until there's one person left who says Allah. This word is so powerful. We don't know what is Allah. Today we don't even know the word Allah. The word dollar has more value in my heart than the word Allah. And you might say, what are you saying? I'm talking about my heart. I don't know about your heart. But you may be closer to Allah than me, but Allah knows. But I'm talking about my heart. When I lose a dollar, I have more sadness than when I lose one commandment of Allah. That's why I say the dollar has more value in my heart than the name of Allah. When I lose a dollar, there's more sadness in my heart than when I lose one salah. You question your own heart and you find out. Last time when I lost a dollar, and last time when I missed a salah, which was more sadness in my heart? And you'll know. So today I don't even know the name of Allah. I don't even know who is Allah. So this one person who's left, who doesn't pray, doesn't fast, he never did Hajj. He just says, my parents used to say Allah, so I say Allah. That's all. Until he's alive, the sun will shine. Until he's alive, the earth will be rotating on its axis. Until he's alive, the fruits will grow. Until he's alive, the winds will come. Until he's alive, the snow will fall. The rain will fall. The vegetation will grow until he's alive. And when this person dies who says Allah, Allah, the whole universe will finish. Allah has no value for this universe. Only reason this universe is running is because of me and you saying Allah. If the people who say Allah finish, this universe will finish. So today we do not know who is Allah. Do not know. Once Allah comes in your heart, all the sadness will be removed from your heart. This is a sign that this person, he has itminan, he has peace and tranquility. The only way that can happen is when Allah enters your heart. So when Allah enters a person's heart, all of his sadness is gone. Or dil ko sukoon aa jata, itminan aa jata, rahat. You say coolness of the heart. How can we get the coolness of the heart? Take out everything from your heart and bring Allah in your heart. This is the first lesson of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah means take out the dollar. La ilaha. There is dollar cannot do. Illallah. Bring Allah in your heart. Take out the degree. Take out the shop. Take out yourself. Even I cannot do. Illallah. Take, negate everything. Negate everything. That nothing can do except Allah. Bring Allah in your heart. And once Allah comes in your heart, then your heart will be cool. And your heart will be happy. And because who created this heart? Some factory? Mercedes? Lexus? When I get a Mercedes, I will be happy. Who created this heart? Allah created this heart. So how can you think somebody or someone else or something else other than Allah, someone else other than Allah can give you happiness, or something else other than Allah can give you happiness? Because Allah made your heart. And Allah has very tight security on his heart. You have something special to very high security. So let me this human being, and the most important thing in this human being is his heart. And Allah only wants to be in his heart. So when you try to put something else in your heart, there's a security guard there. Will not let anything enter your heart except Allah. He'll block everything. And he never sleeps. He never rests. He's better than any security guard in the world. So this security guard, he's watching. That no, he has been given this pass by Allah. Don't let anybody except me enter his heart. So nobody can give you happiness except Allah. So once Allah enters, then all the difficulties are removed. And the peace and the tranquility will come in your heart. So one sheikh was asked, how is your day? How is your life? How is it going? If somebody asks me and you, what will you say? You say, you got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem. You give me a whole encyclopedia of problems. This happened, and this happened, and the wife doesn't, and the children, and the job, and this, and this. But if you have Allah, everybody has problems, right? Everybody has problems. No human being can be without problems. But if you have Allah, Allah will give you happiness in those problems. Because you have trust in Allah. Who had the most problems? The prophets. And out of the prophets, who had the most problems? Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in every condition, his heart was at peace because his heart was connected to Allah. Nobody can have more problems than Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He even said in one narration, when you have any problems, remember my problems, and your problems will become light. Because I have been given the most problems out of any prophet. One day he was with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Today we complain. We complain about what? What can we complain about? We have everything and we still complain. Our fridges are full and we still complain. We have cars and we still complain. We have clothes on our bodies and we still complain. We met some Syrian brothers the other day, the people who are coming. You go and you sit with them and you talk to them. Your eyes will cry, your heart will cry. What are we complaining about? And in our houses we are fighting every day. What are we fighting about? Why can't we be happy? We have everything. Just go with the Syrian brothers and take a tarjima and take a translator because they don't speak English. Right? They speak Arabic. And none of us want to learn Arabic either. English seekhne ke liye kitni mehnat ki. Arabic seekhne ka shauk hi nahi hai. Quran ki zuban, Hazur ki zuban, Jannat ki zuban, koi shauk hi nahi hai. So you have to take a translator, I'm sorry. So take a translator and go and ask them, tell me something about your life. And your heart will cry just by hearing what they say. So what are we complaining about? So Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was with Aisha Radhiya Ta'ala Anha, and he couldn't sleep. He was turning sides. So there's something called a chatpai. If you know, if you're from back home, you have a chatpai. It has four corners. It's made of wood on all sides. And it's from string. It's made with thick string. So something similar to that. And Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lying on that. So he got up. He sat on the chatpai. And from one of the corners, there's four corners. So one of the corners, he bent down like this. And he pressed that corner in his stomach. And that corner, it started pushing his stomach very hard. So Aisha radhiallahu anha, she surprised, said, what is Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing? And why can he not sleep? She said, Aisha radhiallahu anha, what happened? So she said, yeah, Aisha, al-ju' hunger. He is a prophet who has the key of Jannah in his hands. And he's going through so much hardship, then how can me and you complain? He went through these hardships, so the people who come after him, they cannot say, oh, our Prophet was living such a beautiful life, and look at us, we are living such a hard life. He went through all those hardships, he took all those hardships on himself, so he can be a lesson for his ummah, that when you face hardships, do not leave Allah. Do not forget Allah, because that's what happens. When somebody gets into a hardship, said, where is Allah? Where is Allah? Allah is not watching me. Allah mujhe nahi dekh raha. Or we say, Allah ne mere saath kyun kiya? These words are dangerous. These words are very dangerous. And we say it every day. And we hear people saying, why did Allah do this to me? We hear it every day. People saying it. Or we see an earthquake in another country. So we say, ye Allah ne kyun kiya? Wo to masoom log the. You are doubting what Allah did? You are doubting what Allah did? Why did Allah do this? How can you say that? Kyun to usse kehte hain jo galti karta hai? Main Saeed bhai ko keh sakta hu, Saeed bhai aapne ye kyun kiya? Wo mujhe keh sakte hain, aapne ye kyun kiya? Kyunki hum dono galti karte hain, hum insaan hain. You can say that to a human being. Does Allah make mistakes? So how can we say Allah ne kyun kiya? Allah mere saath kyun kiya? Allah uske saath kyun kiya? So we can't say this. I can say it to him, he can say it to me, because we both make mistakes. But we can't say why to Allah. Why did Allah do this? We can't say that. So my brothers, we have to bring iman in Allah. And whatever Allah did, whether we understand or don't understand, it is good for us. The hikmat behind your child, he wants a sword. So he goes to the store. See the beautiful swords, the big knives and swords and guns. So sometimes in the malls, they have these swords outside. So your child says, Baba, I want this sword. And you know the sword is very sharp. So will you buy it? Will you buy him the sword? He said, no, that's not for you. He said, no, I want it. And he starts crying and he lies down on the ground and he starts crying and crying and crying. But you still say no, because you're a good father. And you know if he gets the sword, he's going to hurt himself or he's going to hurt somebody else. So your hikmat, your knowledge, is a little bit more than your child. So you prevented him from getting the sword. So Allah ne kyun kiya? Why did Allah do this? So the child will say, why is my father doing this? Now you understand? Allah's knowledge has no comparison with my knowledge. Once Musa alayhi salam was going, and he was in a majlis, and in Surah Kahf, the Imam said, you should read Surah Kahf, and on Friday he reminded us the hadith. So Surah Kahf also mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam. There was one gathering, and the people said, who's the most knowledgeable one in this gathering? So Musa alayhi salam was in the gathering, he studied, he's a prophet. He said, who can be more knowledgeable than me? So he said, Ana. Ana means I. Allah does not like Ana. Allah Ta'ala does not like anybody to say Ana. I. So then he said, Musa, now you go. I'm going to give you a teacher. Go learn from him. So he sent Musa to Khidr alayhi salam. So in the Surah Kahf, you can read the translation. So one thing I want to mention about the knowledge of Allah. So they reached the shore of the ocean. And there was a bird. It was taking some water in its beak. So how much water can a bird take in its beak? A few spoons? One spoon, two spoons. So this bird, he took some water in his beak. And Musa al-Islam and Khidr al-Islam, they're watching. And Khidr al-Islam say, look, Musa, over there. See the bird? So Musa al-Islam, he said, yeah. He said, you see the water he took in his beak? He said, yes. And you see the ocean? He said, yes. He said, the water that the bird took in his beak is my knowledge and your knowledge and the knowledge of the entire creation. Entire creation, this is the meaning of entire creation. All the doctors, all the scientists, all the prophets, all the friends of Allah, everybody you can imagine, the entire creation. What is their knowledge? And Musa, you see the ocean? It's the knowledge of Allah. So what? Why did Allah do this? You don't know. Later on you will know. Maybe in this world or on the day of judgment. Then you will thank Allah. And you will say, Ya Allah, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. When this child grows up, when you were small and I was small, we wanted that sword, right? So our father said, no. We were crying. He said, Baba, what are you doing? Ye mere saath kyun kar rahe ho? Unke paas bhi hai, unke paas bhi hai. Mere saath hi. Why are you doing this to me? They all have it. But when you grow up, he said, Baba, jazakallah. You didn't buy me that sword. Because if you bought me that sword, it would be a big problem. So when something happens to me and you in our life, we don't understand. But maybe after a few years or after we die, we will understand. That's why they say there's, in the narration, there says, there's three levels of the acceptance of dua. There's three levels. Sometimes you're making dua and nothing's happening. Sometimes you're making dua, right away something's happening. So there's three levels. And I will tell you these three levels. A person is in the hospital, his son is sick. He makes dua that his son gets better, and his dua gets accepted right away, and his son gets cured. The second thing is he makes dua and nothing happens. His son is still sick. It says in the narration in the hadith, that when a person makes dua, one out of three things happen for sure. Allah is not like a king of this world, that if you say something, Allah will reject. Allah never rejects. Allah always accepts. But the ways He accepts, we don't understand. So from this narration, we will understand how Allah accepts. And He always accepts. The first thing is, whatever you say to Allah, He accepts it right away. Jisne jo dua mangi wo dua qubool hogi. His son was sick, he made dua, Ya Allah, give my son health. His son becomes healthy. This is the first step. Second step is that Allah Ta'ala removes a difficulty. But you don't see it. You're asking Allah for something. Ya Allah, give my son shifa, give my son shifa. He's not getting cured. But a difficulty was about to come that he was about to die. And Allah removed that difficulty, but your son is still sick. You don't know. You're thinking your dua is not getting accepted. So like this, all the time we are making dua, but those things we are making dua for, we don't see the result. But there were many hardships and difficulties around us, accidents, heart attacks, diseases, cancers, bacterias, which Allah took away because of our dua. But we're still saying, Ya Allah, why don't you accept my dua? And Allah is accepting your dua.
Vajirono. And the third thing is, Allah does not give you right away. Allah does not remove a difficulty, but Allah saves it for the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will remind you. You remember on Friday in February, you came to the masjid after Isha, you made that dua. I didn't accept it, O Abdul Rahman, because I wanted to give you this present today on the Day of Judgment. When you see that present, you say to Allah, Ya Allah, why did you accept any of my du'as in Mississauga? You shouldn't have even accepted one of my du'as. This is so cool. This is so awesome. This is the greatest. I've never seen anything like this before. Why did you even accept one of my du'as when I was alive? So you see, Allah is great. Allah is merciful. Allah is awesome. Allah is magnificent. Allah is, there is no words to describe Allah, but we can try it. The Prophet said, Allahumma la nafsi sanan alik wa anta kama asnayt ala nafsik. Allah, we cannot praise you. You are like you praise yourself. So there's, we can try and we will try, but the right of the praise of Allah we cannot fulfill. Allah is awesome. Allah is awesome. So we have to realize that Allah is listening to us. And He's listening to us every time we make dua. But the way of the dua being accepted, we don't understand. Just like that child does not understand. So there was a woman in the time of Dawud alayhi salam. This woman, she was a widow. This woman, she didn't have any money. This woman, she was very poor. She had children. What she used to do to support herself? She used to go to the market and buy some raw material to make yarn. And she made this yarn. And she used to bring home some food and feed the kids. This was her job. She had no one to support her. She had no extra money. Every day she would go buy some yarn and then sell it the next day, buy some food for the day. Like this, hand to mouth, she was living with her children. One day she had a problem. And she came to Dawud alayhi salam and she says, is Allah adil? Is He just? Or is He zalim? Is He do injustice? You see, the question is very tough. She's asking a prophet of Allah, does Allah do injustice? Just like me and you sometimes say, why did Allah do this? So that means we are saying Allah is doing injustice. So she said, does Allah do injustice or is He fair with everybody? Now this is the question. What is Dawud alayhi salam going to say? Women sometimes they ask weird questions, okay? So be patient. And don't get mad, huh? You have to be patient with women. Sometimes they ask some weird questions. So she asked this question. She said, Allah adil or zalim? Dawud alayhi salam, of course, he knows the answer. Allah is adil. And she knows the answer, but she wants to ask because she's in a tough problem. She's a big problem right now in her life, that's why she said this. So sometimes women, when they get in deep problem, they say some weird stuff. So you have to be patient, okay, husbands? You have to be patient. Just listen. Do not fight. Do not answer back. Once the Prophet ﷺ was going, and one woman, she lost her child. The child died. And she was crying, and she was crying, and she was, you know, pulling her hair and going crazy. So the Prophet ﷺ came behind her and she said, have patience, Isbiri, have patience. She said, has your child died? You don't know what I'm going through. So the Prophet said, oh, she's not in the mood to accept any advice right now. The Prophet left. Somebody said to her, do you know who that was? That was the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, oh, that was the Prophet? He said, yes. So she ran to the Prophet's house. She ran to the Prophet's house and she went inside. There was no one there in the front. There's always some Sahabi, but there was no Sahabi. She went inside. So, Ya Rasulullah, now I will have patience. Now I will do sabr. The Prophet said, As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. This is something in between, but it has a very important lesson. The Prophet said, sabr is when you get the first shock. That shows that you have iman in Allah and His Rasul. बाद में तो सब ही सबर कर लेते हैं, बाद में तो सबर ही करना है ना, और क्या करेंगे? After that, after 1 week or after 1 month, everybody makes sabr. As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. Sabr is, you just got the phone call. Something very bad happened. And you say, Amantu billahi wa rasuli. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is sabr. What is this happening? What is going on? Allah, where are you? What is it? What are you doing to my life? This is not sabr. And then after 1 week, I'm at the sabr karunga. So to hona hi tha. Everybody does that. After 1 week, everybody says, now I'll make sabr. The Prophet said, the sabr, real iman, is when you get the first shock. That is sabr. When you get that, you lost $100,000. Why? Me? What? I'm not saying, may none of us be inside hardship. The Prophet told us to make this dua, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. One Sahabi was making dua, Allah give me sabr. I know, he was asking for hardship. The Prophet poked him from behind. He said, why are you asking Allah for difficulty? Say to Allah, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. One time the Prophet was leading Maghrib or Isha namaz and he read Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالْقَارِيَةً, about the scream of the Day of Judgment, when the Day of Judgment will come. So after that, one Sahabi, he disappeared from the masjid. A few days he didn't come. So the Prophet said, what happened to such and such Sahabi? Ya Rasulullah, he's not coming to the masjid. So the Prophet went to visit him. And the people say, ye gush aapne kahan se nikale? The people say, where are you people getting this gush from? Show us hadith. Come, we'll show you many hadith. I'll show you many hadith where these tablighi people get gushed from. Going and knocking doors. People have a conflict with the tablighi people. Why are you bothering people? They are Muslims. This Sahabi was not a Muslim. The Prophet went and knocked his door when he didn't see him in the masjid. This is our responsibility. So where is that person? He's not here, Ya Rasulullah. Let's go and check on him. They went to check on him. He was sick. And this is our duty. जो मस्जिद में नजर नहीं है उसके घर जाओ. यू डोंट सी अ ब्रदर इन द मस्जिद फॉर अ फ्यू डेज, गो बिफोर द शैतान टेक्स हिम समवेयर आउट. यू डोंट नो हिज कंडीशन ऑफ हिज ईमान. यू डोंट सी हिम, द पीपल प्रेइंग इन द मस्जिद, इज योर रिस्पांसिबिलिटी टू गो एंड टॉक टू दोस पीपल हु आर नॉट इन द मस्जिद और यू डोंट सी इन द मस्जिद. वी विल बी आस्क्ड अबाउट दिस ऑन द डे ऑफ जजमेंट. वी आर ऑल रिस्पांसिबल फॉर दिस, नॉट जस्ट द तबलीगी ब्रदर्स, एवरीबॉडी इज रिस्पांसिबल फॉर दिस. एंड जस्ट फॉर क्लेरिफिकेशन, तबलीगी जमात इज नो जमात. It's not any group or sect, like you hear those scholars on YouTube. Where are those scholars from? We don't even know. But anyway, there is not any group or sect or certain people that are doing this. This is everybody's responsibility who has read this kalima to go and remind others. Yes, everybody who has read this kalima, his responsibility is go and remind others to come to the masjid. And that's what they're doing. If they do something else, then you say something. But if that's all they're telling you, to come to the masjid, obey Allah and His Rasul, then you have no right to say anything against them. Right. So the Prophet, he went. And the Sahaba, they were with the Prophet. And they met this Sahabi, young Sahabi. So this Sahabi, he was very sick. He couldn't eat anything. Anything he ate would come out right away. No sip of water, no food. Many days passed by. So the Prophet said, what happened to you? He said, Ya Rasulullah, the other day, in the Salat, you said Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, Wama Adraka, the scream of the Day of Judgment, the terrible scream. So I became so scared, I said, Ya Allah, give me all the punishment in this world. I cannot face any punishment in the Akhirah. So his condition was that he became so sick that he could not eat or drink anything. The Prophet said, why did you say to Allah to give you hardship? Why did you tell Allah to give you pain in this world? Why didn't you say, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So the Prophet taught us, so I'm not saying we should ask Allah for hardship. I'm saying, but if it happens, then what should we do? Then we say, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, that I believe in Allah and His Rasul. Because in our lives, we will all be faced with conditions. And this is life. Until we die, we will be faced with conditions. So this woman, she said, is Allah
adil aw zalim. So Dawud al-Islam now, he cannot say anything because he knows. And the woman knows too. But she's in a, such a terrible condition in her life that she said this question. So Dawud al-Islam, he said, what happened to you? She said the whole story which I just told you. She's very poor. She has no one to support her. She's a widow. She has kids. So she goes. She makes yarn every day. And she goes and sells it. And she buys some more raw material. And then there's a little bit of money left to buy bread and to eat for that day. And then they have nothing else for the next day unless she works and makes yarn and sells it again. Like this, she's living. She said, oh Dawud, the other day I was going and I have a cart. And I put the yarn ball which I was about to sell in the market in a rag. And I was taking the cart and the rag and the yarn ball inside. I was taking it. And while I was going to the market, a hawk came from the sky and he grabbed the rag and he flew away. And since that day I've been hungry and my children have been hungry. Tell me, is Allah just or does Allah do injustice? This is the question. This is the situation, and this is the problem. A very big problem. If pet khali hota to insaan bade bade kalimat keh jata hai, pata bhi nahi chalta. That's a test of iman when your stomach is empty. And when your stomach is full, everybody's happy. When your stomach is empty, then your test will come. What is your iman in Allah? When your bank account is zero, then we will see how much you believe in Allah. When you have $5 million, then yeah, Allah is there. You have $100,000, yeah. Allah is doing everything. When you have $0, Allah is probably doing everything. That's what we do. So that's the test. When you're zero and you still believe in Allah, that Allah is doing everything. One scholar, he said something ajeeb. He said, if the earth becomes copper, meaning nothing can grow from the earth. And the Asman, they also become copper, meaning nothing can rain down from the sky. So you have no hope that something is going to come from the sky, and you have no hope that something is going to grow from the earth. And if you say, how is Allah going to feed me? That means there's a problem with your iman. Because Allah can do without anything. Allah does not need the sky to rain. Allah does not need the sky to send down any sustenance. And Allah does not need the earth to give any sustenance. Allah gives when He wants, how He wants, where He wants, however He wants. He's not in need of anything. This is iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have to build. That Allah is the doer of everything and He can do anything He wants. Without anything. Without anybody. So, is Allah adil or zalim? He said, have patience. Sabr karo, have patience. Say, no, answer my question. Have patience. And right then and there, 10 people walk into the majlis of Dawud al-Islam, and they also have a question. So now this woman, she gets erupted. You don't talk to them. Answer my question. You guys face this, huh? Married people face this situation many times. Don't talk to them. Answer my question first. So what should you do? Have patience. So Dawud al-Islam, he has patience. Nabi Sallam's wives, he had patience. He taught us how to be with a family. How we behave. I'll tell you a story. Nabi Sallam, he was staying with Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. And at night he had a need. So he went outside the house. Umm Habiba radiallahu anha woke up at night. And she's a wife like any other wife. She thought the Prophet went to his other wife. She woke up, the Prophet is not there. So in her mind came, he went to the other wife. She got up and from inside she locked the door. The Prophet went out for his need. After a while he came back, Umm Habiba, open the door. He said no. Al-yawmu yawmi wa zahabta ila ghayri. Today is my night and you went to your other wife. Today is my turn and you went to your other wife. I'm not going to open the door.
Mi Habiba, open the door. Al yomu yomi wa zahabta ila ghayri. She's not opening the door. Then after that, the Prophet ﷺ, he reminded her, I am the Rasul of Allah. The Rasul of Allah cannot lie. Then she opened the door. So how did the Prophet behave with his family? Did he go inside and hit her? You're coming home from a hard day of work. And you drove taxi all day. Or you were at the office all day. And now it's 12 o'clock at night and you knock the door. And your wife says, I'm not going to open the door. And you're sitting there knocking the door. You're so tired. And when she finally, you convince her to open the door and you go inside, what will you say to her? I don't think we can say that in the masjid. Probably we can't say that in the masjid. What did the Prophet do when Umm Habiba she did? He went inside and he smiled. He went inside and he smiled. And he went on his bistra, on his bed. And he lie down and he smiled and he went to sleep. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such beautiful akhlaq he taught us to be in the house. Such beautiful akhlaq. If we bring these akhlaq, we don't need to go to psychiatrists. Today when we have family problems, tell the psychiatrist ke paas chalo. America mein bada acha psychiatrist. Now America has very good psychiatrists. I read some of the books of the psychiatrists dealing with family problems. I can tell you, wallah, some of the things that they wrote in this book, because we read hadith in madrasa, it seems like they have copied the hadith from Sahih Bukhari and put it in their book. And we're saying that they have the solution for our problems. We have not read the seerah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who has the solution to our problem, not these psychiatrists. Not these doctors. One person, he had a big fight with his wife, everyday problem. He became in the masjid, he started to come, he grew a beard, he wearing imama, wearing topi, wearing jubbah, he made tawbah. His wife sinned, she didn't come to the masjid, she didn't hear the bayan, she didn't hear jummah, she didn't come for jummah, she doesn't meet the sheikh, she doesn't see the sheikh, so her life is still the same. So every day when he goes, a big problem, fighting, all day fighting. She's watching movies, watching TV, not doing parda. So he's getting angry because he knows she's breaking the order of Allah. So every day fighting. So finally he gives up. Every day problem, he gives up. He comes to his sheikh, he says, Sheikh, give me permission. I'm just going to finish it. Separation. Drop her to her mother's house. I can't handle it anymore. The sheikh said, hold on. Have you done what the Prophet ﷺ used to do? When he used to sit for dinner with Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha, have you done that with your wife? And he said, what is that? Today we don't even know the sunnah of the Prophet. We want happiness through furniture. We want happiness through big screen TVs. We want happiness from big houses and big cars. Wallah, happiness will only come when the sunnah of Nabi ﷺ comes in your house. It will not come any other way. Your house can be made of gold and silver. If there's no deen in our house, there can be no happiness in our house. You can read the whole history. You can go in the whole world and check. The Tablighi brothers, they go different countries and they will tell you. Any house, poor, deen, house is happy. Rich, deen, house is happy. Poor, no deen, no happiness. Rich, no deen, no happiness. Happiness does not have to do with wealth. Happiness has to do with the order of Allah and the way of Nabi Pak. If these two things are in your house, you will have a happy life. But today we don't understand. We want to use our own mind. So if we use our own mind, we can use our own mind. We'll never find the right way. I have to follow Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, have you done? So the person said, I have not done that. I don't even know. What is that? So the sheikh said, when the Prophet used to sit down for food in his house, he used to make one morsel and he used to put it in the mouth of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So when you go home tonight and you sit for dinner, make sure you make one morsel and you put it in your wife's mouth, then I'll tell you what to do next. Now he wants to do separation, but the sheikh said, try this amal first. Our society is filled with these problems, my brothers. It's because we don't own the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't know what how he lived. We think Deen is just coming here, Allahu Akbar, Assalamu Alaikum, Hajj, Zakat, Ramadan, Baki Deen nahi hai. We think there's no other. Deen is in your house. Deen is in your business. Deen is when you get married. Deen is janaza. Deen is when a baby is born. There is Deen 24/7 in your life. And that is the sunnah of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we don't know. That's why we're facing problems. So he doesn't know. So he says, okay, I will do it. He says right then to the sheikh, I will do it. He goes home. He's eating food now. His wife is sitting there. He makes one morsel. He wants to put it in his wife's mouth. Present in his own mouth. Then makes another morsel. Then wants to put it there. Put it in his own mouth. Whole food is going to finish now. Last morsel. This one morsel is worth a few grams and has become more heavy than 10 kilograms. So heavy now to put it there. Always biting. You try it, huh? Right now you think it's easy? Go home and try it. So he takes it, and the last morsel is very hard for him. So he takes it, and very hard he puts it into the mouth of his wife. As soon as he fulfills the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said that when you obey the sunnah, the doors of the heavens open, and Allah, He descends happiness and tranquility in your house. As soon as he followed this beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, the help of Allah came running. The Sahaba were losing one battle. Today we don't know the importance of Sunnah. The Sahaba were losing one battle and they wrote a letter to the Khalifa that we are losing, most likely, as I remember, is Umar bin Khattab. He was a Khalifa at that time. They wrote a letter to him. Ya Umar, we are losing this battle. The Khalifa wrote a letter back. You are losing because you are missing a Sunnah of the Prophet. Call your whole Jamaat and see which sunnah you are missing. Today we say it's only a sunnah. We don't know what is sunnah. From head to toe, 24/7 there is sunnah, my brothers. We have to follow each and every one to have happiness and to have success. So they made a mashura. The Emir called the whole Jamaat. He said, we are missing a sunnah. What are we missing? They looked in their pockets. They had no miswak. Today we don't even know what is a miswak. We know Colgate, Aquafresh, we know all of that. But our kids, if you ask them miswak, they will say, miskya? Kaunsi miswak? They don't even know what is miswak. Because we never taught them miswak. We said, brush karke sona. Make sure you brush your teeth. There are so many benefits of miswak. And the best benefit of miswak is that when you die, you will be able to recite the kalima. Miswak is such a great sunnah of Nabi. Every namaz is multiplied by 70. You have one job here, is paying you $15 an hour. And this other job is there, it's paying you 15 times 70. You say, nah, just like, no, this job is good. $15 an hour, right? You take 15. Why would you want it multiplied by 70, right? We don't need that. You will run to that multiplied by 70. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi said, if you do miswak, each namaz is multiplied by 70 times. How much does a miswak cost? $1 million? $1. And if you don't even have $1, inshallah, we will do donation and we will all give you $1. But please buy a miswak. Please buy a miswak. Keep your miswak in your pocket. And do miswak before every namaz. Do miswak, the sunnat, before you sleep. Do miswak, the sunnat, after you wake up. Make a habit of it. And buy all your children a miswak and tell them, yeah, brush your teeth. I'm not saying don't brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. But also do miswak. So they said, the Amir said, we are missing a sunnah. So they said, which sunnah are we missing? He said, we are not doing miswak. He said, everybody go. They started. They broke the tree, a miswak tree. They got the miswak. They made the miswak. Starting brushing the teeth with the miswak. The enemy is watching. Allah is the one who controls the heart. Brother, if I follow the sunnah, I will lose my job. Who controls the heart of your boss? If I follow the sunnah, they will make fun of me. Who controls their heart? Allah. So Allah is the one who controls the heart. They are watching the Sahaba doing miswak. Allah put in their hearts. These guys are sharpening their teeth. They're going to come and eat us alive. Run away from here. Without fighting, without any casualties, they won. Because Allah is going to help you when you follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Write this down in the depth of your heart. Ke aaj ke baad maine sunnat nahi chhodni. From today I will not leave the sunnat of my Nabi, whether the whole world is against me. Write this down in the depth of your heart, inshallah. Everybody makes intention? I will not leave the sunnat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam from today, no matter what the people say. Because when I follow the sunnah, my Allah will love me and my Allah will be with me. And when Allah is with you, then who do you need? So I'll just finish the incident. The topic was something else, but we got somewhere else. We went to a different topic. So finally, when he put the morsel in his wife's mouth, the help of Allah came because he followed the sunnah of Nabi Pak Sallam in his house with the intention of sunnah, of course. The wife said, "What have you just done to me?" He said, "I thought this is a sunnah of the Prophet." She said, "Sunnahs are so beautiful." Before, how was he giving dawat? And this is the point we have to understand. This is the point I want to just to a little bit to focus. Our dawat is pray namaz. If you don't pray namaz, halfar. Cover yourself. Because those women who don't cover themselves, they're going to fall in hellfire. This is our dawat. I said, "Tum namaz hi padhoge, wo danda hai mere paas. I have that stick. I'm going to show you if you don't pray namaz." This is not how the Prophet gave dawat, my brother. The Prophet never hit anybody once in his life. And he made Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reach such a status that is said when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes into Jannah, the 8 doors of Jannah will say, "Enter from me. Oh Abu Bakr, enter from me." And he never hit Abu Bakr once in his life. Today we think we want people to follow Islam, we have to hit them. If they don't understand, we should slap them. This is not the way of the Prophet. We are giving dawah the wrong way. We are making people go not close to the deen. We are making people go further away from the deen. Because we are giving dawah the wrong way. So because of our giving dawah the wrong way, people are going far away from Allah. We have to learn how the Prophet gave dawah with love, affection, and how he used to treat people. So next time, inshallah, we'll discuss that. But for now, I just want to finish the story. So, she said, "Sunnats are so beautiful." So, he said, "Yes, sunnats are so beautiful." She said, "Teach me more sunnats." He brought some CDs of his sheikh, of his maulana. And then within 2 weeks, he came back to his sheikh. And he said, "I want to tell you some good news." Before he was saying, "I want to separate." And now he's saying, "I want to tell you some good news." He said, "Oh Sheikh, oh my teacher, from head to toe, my wife is in full sunnah and shariat now. And all the fighting is finished in the house." The same person who wanted to separate because he didn't know the instruction manual. Everything has an instruction manual. The car you buy has an instruction manual. The phone you buy has an instruction manual. When you throw away the instruction manual and you be like what is going on in the West and say it's my life, and you use that thing in the wrong way without following the instruction manual, you will hurt yourself and you will hurt other people. Today we have left our instruction manual and we are following the life how we want and we are saying it's my life. That's why we are hurting ourselves and we are hurting the people around us. The instruction manual is Muhammadur Rasulullah for this human being. If a person, he follows anybody else, he will go into destruction. So for this reason, my brothers, I will conclude now and I will request everybody from today, start reading the biography of Nabi Pak Sallam. Start reading the hadith. Start following sunnah. And there's many books about this. You can get Shamail al-Tirmizi. Shamail al-Tirmizi says, What cup did the Prophet prefer? How was his cup? How was his plate? How was his dress? How was his imamah? How was his beard? What did he like to eat in the morning? What did he like to eat at the night? You would read one of these every day and you follow it.
you will get closer to Him every day, and happiness and peace and tranquility will come in your house. May Allah give me and you the tawfiq and all of us, inshallah. Okay. We can do that next week, no? You guys want to hear it today or next week? So Dawud al-Islam, the ten businessmen came in the gathering, right? So the woman is saying, is Allah just or unjust? So Sayyidina Dawud al-Islam, he says, let me talk to these people first and then I will answer. So she's getting mad. So Dawud al-Islam, he calmed her down and he said, let's listen to what they say. So these 10 people, they say, we are businessmen and we don't live in this city. We were going on a business trip in the ocean on a ship. And while we were traveling, the waves got high and a storm came. And then we all believed that this is our last time. And while the waves were high and the storm was there, on top of that, there became a hole in our ship. Then we were certain that we're going to die because the water is coming in and we start to sink. So while this boat is about to sink, one of the businessmen, he said, let's all make an intention that if Allah saves us from this calamity, we will all give 100 dinars in the path of Allah. So they all said, yes. We will all give 100 dinars in the path of Allah if Allah saves us from this calamity. So the businessman said, Ya Dawud, as soon as we made this intention, we see from the sky a hawk is flying over us and he has a rag in his foot, in his paws. And he releases his paws and that rag, it falls into our ship. We grab that rag and we put it in the hole. After we put it in the hole, we clear out all the water from our ship and all of us are saved. So Ya Dawood, here's 1,000 dinars at your service. You may use them however you like. 10 businessmen, 100 dinars, 1,000. Dawood alayhi salam, now he knows what's going on. Me and you don't know what Allah is planning. Allah is the best of planners. You might be sick. You might be financially stuck. But you don't know what Allah is planning for you. Because He is Hakim and He is Alim. He is the wise and He is the knowledgeable. That was Islam. He takes the 1,000 dinar and he puts it in the lap of the woman. He says, oh woman, you were just questioning me. Is Allah unjust? Forget about helping you on the land. Allah is even worrying about you on the water. Take these 1,000 dinar and go and spend it wherever you like. So my brothers, we have to believe in Allah. We have to believe in His Rasul. Anytime we face a calamity, amantu billahi wa rasulihi. I believe in Allah and His Rasul. What is better for me? My Allah knows and I do not know. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.